From theunce.com, this is The Unce Podcast. Featuring artist interviews, unreleased tracks, and previews of the biggest events in electronic music. Available every week at theunce.com. Hello and welcome to The Unce Podcast. I'm your host, Anand Harsh. Aaron Simpson is my guest on this week's program. He's a DJ from Seattle with a history in trance and drum and bass. Last year, he started a record label, Simplify Recordings, whose roster claims some of the brightest up-and-comers in the world of dubstep, drum and bass, and electro. His latest catch is the young dubstep wizard Nitty Gritty out of San Jose, California. His new EP, Synthetic Heaven, is shooting up the electronic charts, and we're going to hear some samples from that disc throughout the show. Let's go ahead and get to the interview.
Well, I wasn't really one of those kids that played instruments. I was one of the kids that would record mixtapes off the radio of my favorite songs over and over again. I was obsessed with music. I used to sneak and watch MTV whenever I could because my parents wouldn't allow it.
What do you remember listening to as a kid?
I wasn't exposed to very much. There was a couple of local stations. One of them was called Cube 93 here in Seattle. So I was kind of into the hip-hop thing growing up just because it was popular with my friends. Then as I started expanding, I got more into punk music and music that had more of an underground following as opposed to the radio. And then when I think I was 17, I started getting into the electronic stuff, and that's when it really took off for me.
What were some of your first experiences with electronic music?
Well, the song that initially got me into electronic music was Robert Miles' Children. Okay. That was back in 1999. Around the same time, I had a new friend of mine that was dragging me to all these raves, all these parties. I was meeting all these people and having these euphoric experiences. Then I heard Paul Oakenfold, and I was really into him. So I was really into trance like the first few years, and then I kind of switched.
I'd like to talk about that switch in a minute, but first, when did you start DJing?
I started DJing in 1999.
What led you to believe that you would be able to even do it?
To be honest, you know, I was just a wide-eyed kid that would go to these parties just insanely ripped, and I would just watch these people performing and just seeing them create the vibe, seeing them create the energy. I just thought that was really magical. And for some reason, I knew in my head, even though that I knew nothing about what they were doing, that's what I wanted to do.
Do you remember getting your first decks?
Yeah, I got my first decks at the very tail end of 99. I actually ended up selling all of my snowboard equipment, all of my skateboard equipment, all my punk CDs. I pretty much traded in and sold everything I had with my current lifestyle in order to get the decks. It was a pretty huge deal.
What were your first party experiences like? Did you tell a friend, hey, you know, I just got some turntables, let me DJ a party? How did that go down?
I was fortunate enough to be living with someone who's a very skilled DJ named DJ Flav, and he really taught me to do all the right things, and he got me in touch with the right people. So it really only took a few gigs of, like, asking, hey, can I play, before I was able to start, you know, picking up the phone and saying, yes, I can play, you know. It was all pretty easy because I was connected with the right people right off the bat.
And I imagine the scene had a lot to do with that. What is the scene like in Seattle, or what was it like then, and how did it influence your sound?
Back then, the scene was crazy. I mean, I don't even know where the kids would even come from. There would be parties every weekend, thousands and thousands of kids. The vibe was great. The energy was great. That was back when trance was really huge. Now, it's a lot more dispersed, a lot more competition, a lot more dog-eat-dog. It's just not the same as it used to be. It's a lot harder now to come up as a DJ as it was back then. Back then, you could be no one, and you could be thrown up in front of a crowd of a few thousand, and if you rocked it, you were in. You'd never have to worry about another booking again. Promoters were there. They would contact you. You'd be good to go. Now it's a lot more like you have to fight for anything that you get as far as bookings go.
What am I?
Nitty Gritty with What Am I from his Synthetic Heaven EP, out now on Simplify Recordings.
When did you make this move from trance to drum and bass? I imagine trends were shifting at the time. Did you move with the trend, or were trance DJs still popular and you just decided, you know, I need this new sound?
It was still popular. I think most of the shift had to do with my age and how I was changing. You know, you go from adolescence to man, and suddenly things don't look the same to you anymore. You know, you don't listen to the same music. You stop wearing the same clothes. I always kind of hated drum bass. I hated it. I despised it. And the main reason why is because whenever I heard anything to do with it, it was always incredibly dark and evil and had no mood or feeling to it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, really, it was kind of a strange moment I had. I was playing at USC. I think it was USC 6 or USC 5. And I'm sure you know it's one of, like, the big 10,000-person masses that we have in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
And I was walking around after my set, which I played trance, and I stumbled upon Andy C. And it was really my first exposure to drum bass that was good, in my opinion. It was moving. It was melodic. He just had the dance floor just going crazy. And it was literally just, it took me seeing him one time before I knew that that's what I wanted to do. Like, trance was not doing it for me anymore.
This wasn't a gradual shift. This was instantaneous.
There was about 6 months where I was trying to do the multi-genre thing. I was playing breaks, drum bass, trance, all in the same set. But the trancey drum bass I had heard, I really only had like 10 tunes. And so it was seeing him that made me realize that, hey, this is it. I'm going to switch everything to this.
Now, a lot of artists, they mark their career with these milestones, getting signed, opening up for one of their heroes. What are some of your milestones that made you understand that, hey, I've made it?
I think when I started to see the mixes I was doing being stolen by other people in other countries and being posted as theirs, it's actually happened 4 times now in the past 10 years.
Wow.
I think when I saw that, it was really the sign of, wow, people are actually listening, and I think I've made it.
Aaron Simpson, hot enough to steal.
Yeah. So after that, I started doing things like watermarking my mixes, things like that. And, you know, I guess another huge sign was that I started to get booked a lot out of state and fly different places. That was incredible. I never, ever thought it would get that big.
That's great. Now, were you working with a label at the time, or were you doing the indie thing?
You know, I've always done the indie thing. I've never really worked with a label. Always done it myself.
There's some drum and bass for my guest, Aaron Simpson, CEO of Simplify Recordings. That track is Hash Rock from Red Army. Their EP, Azul, comes out on Simplify on July 16th.
Let's switch things up and talk about your own label. When did the sort of genesis, the idea of Simplify come about?
Well, initially, I had a good buddy of mine who was, and still is, an insanely, insanely incredible producer. And he was kind of struggling getting his own music signed, and he was dealing with all kinds of crap from labels, his music being shelved, the labels not paying him, pretty much everything that you can think of. And, you know, I came to him with this idea that, hey, you know, why don't we start a label? I'll run it. Make a long story short, that all fell through within about a year. And, you know, when it fell through, when him and I kind of went our separate ways, I felt like I really wasn't done. I felt like I had a lot more to do in that area. And so that's what inspired me to do my own thing and start Simplify.
I imagine Simplify itself comes out of a frustration with regular labels. What sets Simplify apart from, you know, your regular run-of-the-mill electronic label?
A lot of artists are really sick of dealing with labels. They're sick of not having any personal contact. They're sick of not being told sales reports. They're sick of not being paid. What makes a lot of artists really happy with Simplify is that, you know, I give them that personal treatment. You know, they can hit me up, they can ask me about sales whenever. I make sure that they're always paid, that the artwork is exactly what they want, that all the decisions that are being made are having them incorporated with it. So I think that's what really sets us apart. In addition to that, we have a really, really intense promotional campaign that we do on each release. We send it out to blogs, forums, you name it. We get it viral, we get it underground.
And you're in charge of the business side of things?
Yeah, I do everything, even including the busy work and posting stuff in million places and all that stuff.
Do you have any formal training in business? Have you taken any courses or anything like that? Or is this just, you know, trial by fire?
This is mainly just seeing what other people are doing and just taking the best of what they're doing and making it mine. Over and over again, until the formula is so good that there's not much more to do.
How has the game changed? Even in the past few years, we're seeing a lot more purely electronic releases. There aren't that many physical albums out there. The sort of giants of the recording industry are toppling, and indie labels are you know, scurrying to fill in the holes. What have you noticed?
You know, I've noticed a huge revolution in the music coming back to the people. You know, it's not impossible for an artist to 100% be able to sell their own music and make a living off it now. You know, 5 years ago, if someone were to tell you that, you would laugh at them and say, there's no way. You know, so the main thing is that the power, the music, it's all coming back to the hands of the artist. And I think that's really cool. With the label, we try and find a balance between the artist feeling like it's in their hands, but still having the structure and promotion and all the benefits of what you get from a label as well.
What advice would you have for someone who wanted to start their own label?
A lot of it is timing. It's almost like there is this window that kind of closed with these thousands of digital labels that just popped up. If you want to do it, you got to be consistent and just don't stop. Like, don't take no for an answer. If one distro says no, go to another one. If they say no, set up your own site and sell your music exclusively there. You know, there's always a way. There's always a way in.
So what are you looking for in new artists? I imagine doing A&R yourself then.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking for two things. The most important thing is that the music is good, of course. The second thing is that it's really important that the artists are willing to push themselves. I've had a few artists on the label who are really good producers, but they don't really push themselves. And it kind of limits what I can do with them. I can only send the release to so many stores and try and get it posted in so many blogs, but if they aren't making connections, it hinders their growth. So the most important thing is good quality of music and then the drive to push your music.
Forever from American Werewolf. That track is on their Touch Me EP, out on July 23rd. Let's wrap up my interview with Aaron Simpson, CEO of Simplify Recordings, right here on the UNS Podcast.
So tell me about some of the artists on your roster.
Well, we have three great releases coming up in July. One's dubstep, one's drum bass, one is electro. The drum bass one is by this amazing artist out of Sacramento. His name is Red Army. He's been producing for about 10 years now. Then we have American Werewolf. They're a live PA, a live electro PA from Seattle, and they are absolutely amazing live. They make amazing music. Performances are amazing. And we have a lot of other artists like Jay Rabbit from New York who are just making amazing, amazing beats. There's so much coming up.
Now you've signed this rising star, Nit Grit. Tell me about how you discovered him, how you got him on the label. What's that process, right? Like, sort of walk me through that.
Discovering Nit Grit is not hard. If you look on the internet, he is an internet viral phenomenon right now. I think today he surpassed like 400,000 plays on his SoundCloud, which is absolutely astronomical. Like, it's insane. It's almost unheard of. There's a lot of labels who are hitting him up and trying to get him at that time. And, you know, I actually talked with him about this a little bit today. He told me that the reason he went with Simplify is he knew he would get the treatment as if he was selling the music himself. So most of it is these artists just want to feel like they aren't just shunned aside and the label isn't just selling the music for money.
Yeah, and he's got a new EP out now, Synthetic Heaven?
Yes, it actually dropped today, and it's been tearing things up. In less than 2 weeks, it's already number 17 for the entire year. We're hoping for more great charting and great news from the official release today, definitely.
So Nick Gritt is dubstep, but you are branching out. You don't just focus on one genre. You said you've got drum and bass and electro.
Yes. I like to call it the best of all things bass. We tend to stick on the more melodic side as opposed to the darker, more underground side. Mainly electro, dubstep, drum and bass. Now we're really branching out into more of the IDM genres, like glitch, things like that, definitely.
Okay. And now, I know you can't really talk about it, don't want to give up trade secrets, but do you have some new prospects on the horizon that you're trying to bring under the Simplify fold?
We actually have an 18-year-old kid from New York who's making some really big, huge dance floor, epic dubstep. He goes by Shockin. It's Shock-N. He's definitely going to be one to watch. Only 18, making like the sickest tunes ever.
That's
great. We plan to debut him around August or so.
All righty. So what's next for Simplify Recordings? Are you just going to be gathering up some more artists, or do you think at this point, you know, you've got your roster set up and what you want to do is focus on priming the releases or expanding their catalogs?
We really just want to keep the releases going. We have about 20 to 25 a year that we're doing now. So the main thing is just keeping this engine that we've created going and just making it bigger. We have around 15 to 20 artists or so on the label and agency, and we just want to keep pushing them, maybe expand and bring in a few others. But the main thing, just keep doing what we're already doing, just doing it better.
That's great. And with all this stuff going on, do you still ever get a chance to go out and DJ?
Yeah, you know, I DJ in Seattle about once a week or so at the larger events, and a lot of chances to see me in Seattle, definitely.
That's fantastic. Aaron Simpson, thank you so much for being on the UNS podcast.
No problem. Thank you.
Well, that's going to do it for this week's UNS podcast. Thanks goes to Aaron Simpson with Simplify Recordings. Red Army's Azul EP comes out on July 16th, and you can grab American Werewolf's Touch Me EP on July 23rd. Nitty Gritty's EP Synthetic Heaven is out now. You got to hear some terrific samples on this program, and you can snag those tracks at the new and improved UNS.com.
If someone were to tell me you're going to take this drug that's going to launch your consciousness.
Next week on the program, we'll have a wrap-up of Camp Bisco 9. We'll also have Fort Knox 5, a preview of Sand by the Ton, and a number of amazing shows that you don't want to miss coming up in the next few weeks. I'd like to encourage all our listeners to visit theUNS.com for news, artist profiles, and tour dates from across the electronic music spectrum, and go ahead and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Write us a review, tell us what you think of the show. If you have any questions, comments, or complaints about the show, or you'd like to be a guest on the program, contact me at anand@theUNS.com. That's anand@theUNS.com. Catch you next week. Yeah.